your presence. I am listening, Lord. I am still. I am quiet. I am yours. In the calm of your presence, I am listening, Lord. I am still, I am quiet, I am yours. Let your word speak to me, let your spirit draw your presence. I am listening, Lord. I am still. I am quiet. I am yours. There's a thirst in my soul for your and life that I find. Oh, in the calm of your presence, I am listening, quiet, I am yours. So still, silent, I am yours. I am still, I am quiet, I am yours.
Okay, thank you, sister. Let me get my microphone on here. All right. It's always good to come to church. I always enjoy coming to church, although I certainly like to feel a little bit better, especially a little more ability to speak. But if you'll bear with me, I'll know I can get through this. Like I said, I may cough a little bit, but once I do that, I can sort of draw my voice from down low, and then that'll help a lot. Last Sunday morning, if you were here, we used, right at the end of the book of Psalms, we used and talked about the last five chapters of Psalms. And that would be from, I think, 100 and... Well, whatever it was, it was the last five books, chapters of the book of Psalms. And so we're going to go back over there tonight, if you will go with me, to the last book, Psalm 50. And as you know, these Psalms have to do with praise, something that we Baptist people usually have a hard time with. It's hard for me to get you to say amen sometime, and you know, I have to trick you into saying it by saying when you get to that place in your Bible, say amen. And that way I get an amen every once in a while that way. But, amen just means I agree with you. And anytime you're reading Scripture, if you can't agree with Scripture, then you're in bad shape and everything. So let's look here at Psalm 150. Not a very long psalm. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmaments of His power. Praise Him with His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psalter and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise Him with string instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals and praise Him upon the high cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Let's pray. Well, Heavenly Father, we do thank You this evening. It's good to be here. Thank You for these folks that have laid aside things of this old world to come and be here in the house of God. I pray that You'll bless Him as only You can bless. And I pray that we'll get something out of this sermon tonight that will make us more free when it comes to this matter of giving praise to our God. Thank You for all that You're going to do for us. And we thank You in the wonderful name of Jesus tonight for saving us. Amen and amen. All right. Now, for some that may not have been here in the auditorium, if you will remember this, praise ye the Lord. When you look at it in the Hebrew, it's just one word. Hallelujah. So that's what that phrase means. When you see praise ye the Lord, it's just simply hallelujah. And if you'll remember that, then you won't be afraid to say hallelujah sometime, because it's a very biblical word and one that's used much in the Old Testament and especially in the Psalms. Now, in these last five Psalms that will be the theme, praise ye the Lord, or we could say hallelujah. That's the theme of the subject of these last five Psalms here in our Bible. Now, you may recall that the first Psalm in your Bible, that's number one, Psalm 1 in your Bible has only 6 verses. Notice what the last Psalm has too. It only has 6 verses also. Now, in that Psalm 1, you'll remember this in verse 1. It is about a happy man. Here's the way it goes. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of a scornful. Now, that psalm is about a happy or a blessed man. Now, we look at this last psalm here, Psalm 150, which we already said it has 6 verses that corresponds with that 6 verses in Psalm 1. And it speaks about the God who is to be praised. Now, I feel sure many of you know Psalms, which is in our Bible, looks like it's one book. Yet the truth is there are 5 books of Psalms. 5 of them. Not one, but there are 5. Now, 5 is the number of grace, or God's goodness. And so when you study all 5 of the books of Psalms, 1 all the way to 150, you will find it reveals the goodness of God to His people. I think every one of us, if we're honest tonight, we would have to say, God surely is good. He's been good to me, and I know He's been good to you, and we thank Him for that. Now, here are the 5 books that we'll break it down, and I have a reason for doing this, and I'll show you in just a moment. In Book 1, Psalm 1, up to Psalm 41, and Book 2 is Psalm 42 up to Psalm 72, and Book 3 is Psalm 73 to 89, and Book 4 is 90 up to 106, and Book 5 runs from Psalm 107 all the way to Psalm 150. Now, you'll notice if you go back sometime and you'll look at the last chapter in each one of those books, you'll find that it ends with a doxology. Now, let me illustrate that for you for just a moment. Since Psalm 41 is the last psalm of the first book, here's what we read. 41 verse 13, we read, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen." Well, let me give you one more illustration. This will be Psalm 89, which is the last of the third book of Psalms. And it says, "Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen." Now, we just read a moment ago Psalm 150, which is the doxology of all five books of Psalms. And in each one of the verses, we find it gives praise to God and thanks to God. Now, in this last psalm, you will find that it is a psalm that has answers for certain questions. Answers for certain questions which has to do with our praise to God. It would be good for all of us to know the right answer to these questions. And remember, God tells us, if you have an ear to hear, let him hear. You know the trouble with most people that come to church? They go home with nothing because they don't hear. They don't hear. You say, why is that true? Because I can announce a service time and nobody remembers it. It's strange. We come to church. Keep your ears open. Listen to what I'm saying, because I might accidentally say something that will be a blessing to you. But if you don't hear it, then it will not be a blessing to you. So we need to hear. Now, we are here tonight to learn something. It may not be something deep or something far out, but we'll try to learn something that will help us to be more free when it comes to this matter of praising God. Praising Him who you say you love. You say He saves you. You say you're going to be with Him in eternity forever. And so you need to know how to praise the Lord. Now, here's the first question tonight. Where should God be praised? Where should God be praised? Well, I could give you just a one-word answer. That would be everywhere. Everywhere. Notice, if you will, in verse 1 of that Psalm 150, it says again, "Praise ye the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in the firmaments of His power." Now, we could say this earth is His sanctuary, then we could say we should praise Him out into the heavenly creations, whatever. But we just simply need to realize, and I think it would be right for me to say this, that wherever you find yourself, you're not on Mars tonight. You're not even walking on the moon tonight. You're here in Texas. You're here at Victory Baptist Church building. And so right here would be a good place for you to praise God, because this is where you're at. In other words, we're always saying, well, I mean, when I get to a certain place, or when I get to a certain thing, and when I get what I want, then I'm going to praise God. No, you are to praise God wherever you find yourself. So that would be a good place tonight to praise the Lord. Now, back over in that Psalm 149, notice in that verse 1 there, if you will, notice what it says. "Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and praise and His praise in the congregation of the saints." So when the saints meet together, that's a good time to praise the Lord. That's a good time to rejoice in your God. Speak of His greatness, His power. That's why when we say the word hallelujah, we're saying praise ye the Lord. Now, church, when we meet in this building, we're not to be ashamed. We're not to be ashamed. The Bible says if you're ashamed of Him, He'll be ashamed of you. Don't let that happen. You not be ashamed of the Lord, because He wants praise from His people. He wants His people to praise Him. Now, praise the Lord with singing in your heart. You know, there are some people, and you could go into some congregations, and I'm not putting anybody down or I'm not lifting anybody up, but you could go into some congregation and they sang with enthusiasm. They sing with gladness in their spirit. They have joy in their singing. They're not so concerned about whether I'm just a perfectly on tune or whether I perfectly have it right or whatever. They just want to sing. And so they sing with joy. And that's the way we need to sing also. Now, in that Psalm 149, look down at verse 5. Not only in the congregation of the saints, but notice this. And this will startle you at first. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Even as you lay on your back in your bed, you can lift up your voice and praise the Lord. Amen. I like that. I used to know a serviceman over in Germany when we were in the church up at Bitburg. And he was from West Virginia. And him and his wife did their prayer time in the bed. They laid down in their bed and they talked about their prayer requests. And then they prayed right there in the bed as they looked up towards the ceiling, I suppose. And so what we have here is a thing that God says, if you can pray in the bed, you can rejoice in the bed also. Sounds to me like, and I say this humbly, it sounds like God wants His people to praise Him. That's what it sounds like. To me, maybe I'm not smart enough to see something else, but it sounds like God wants His people, no matter who you are, He wants you to praise Him. Now notice the second question with me. Why should we praise the Lord? Well, I want you to look at verse 2 there for just a moment in your Bible. It says, praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. My, that sort of self-explains itself there. You see, we are to praise Him for His mighty acts. What has God done for you? Wasn't He the one that saved you when you was lost and undone and on your way to a devil's hell? Wasn't He the one that came when you laid on that hospital bed and touched your body and healed you? Wasn't He the one that came and when you were destituted and you didn't have anything and God ministered to you and got you on your feet and got you going again and you was able to make it in life? Well, I know it was true with me. I'm not sure about you, but it was true with me. And so we are to praise God for His mighty acts that He does for each one of us. You know, sometimes we look off at other people and we see what God did in their life, but we never see what God is doing in our life. We never sense what He has accomplished through us. And yet everyone in this building, you are in this building tonight because of God. You had supper tonight, if you wasn't at my house, and so you are doing well. You're doing well. Just think, if it was not for God, you wouldn't even be here. Think about that. You've got things to praise God about. Now, just think of all that God has done on the behalf of mankind. Just think about this. Now, I'm going to read a couple of verses to you. Don't try to turn to them because I'm going to rush right down through them. But they all speak about something that we very seldom ever think about. Here's what it says in Ephesians 1:4, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Matthew chapter 25 and 34 says, Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Revelation, probably one of the better known verses here, verse 8 out of chapter 13, and all that dwelt upon the earth shall worship him. Now, let me stop right here before you get the wrong opinion. What this is saying without reading the other verses is the fact that there will be people that will worship the devil. But notice who those people are, whose names are not written in the book of life of the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, what is all these verses talking about? Well, if you would just think in your mind for a moment, it would seem that these verses and numbers of other verses in the New Testament seem to say that God knew man would fall into sin, and God knew that man would need a plan for redemption. And so God made a plan for redemption before we were even created. Think about that. God planned His redemption. He planned it all out, and it was perfect. It was perfect. Here's something right here. This sounds so simple, but church, this is about as deep as you can ever get. Listen to this little phrase right here. God saw our need before we ever had a need. Now you think about that. That's God. God thought about our need. He saw our need even before we had that need. That is a reason for you and I to say hallelujah, because He planned and orchestrated and brought it to pass, our plan of redemption. Now we know what that plan was. Jesus would come through the Virgin Mary. He would live and then go to the old rugged cross and lay down His life. He would be taken down, buried, spend 3 days and three nights in the tomb. He would come out, and my friends, He would go back eventually to heaven, and our plan of redemption was accomplished. When He said on the cross, "It is finished," He meant that He has taken care of everything. Everything. If Brother Chance here has a note down here at the bank, and he goes down there and he's down to his last payment, he goes down there and makes that last payment, what do they tell him? They tell him that his debt is paid. He don't owe no more. He don't have to come next month. He don't have to do that. You and I have a finished salvation. We don't have to do anything in order to be saved. We do things because we are saved. Amen and amen. Well, let me just be frank with you right here for a moment. God is worthy of our praise for just who He is. He's God. He's God. Think about that. He deserves praise. He deserves you and I worshiping Him, singing and giving Him praise. Yes, sir. He's God. That's enough reason right there. The second thing, He is the Creator of all that we see. Everything. He created all of this. He created those big old redwood trees out there in Northern California. I've been there several times and saw those trees. My, they just take your breath away. They're so big and so tall. I mean, you break your back trying to look up at them. They're a splendor. And most of us have been to certain places like Grand Canyon and places like that. And so we know God is a great creator. He made a wonderful earth for you and I to be on. And so He deserves to be praised just because of that. But here's another reason right here. He is going to be the judge of this world one day. Everybody's going to have to answer to Him. Now I know that crowd out there in Hollywood, and most of that crowd up there in Washington, D.C. and other places, they don't see that. They don't understand that. But I want to tell you something, dear friends. You cannot promote and have a life spent in sin and think that God's just going to wipe it off one day. You're going to have to answer for your sin. Either you accept what Jesus did for your sins, or you'll have to answer for it yourself. Amen and amen. Have you ever stopped to think about the characteristics of God? The characteristics of God. Well, you know, you've seen these verses in your Bible. He is love. We all know that. We hear sermons on that. He is power. We know that because we hear sermons on power. He is wisdom because we have sermons on wisdom. So the characteristic, and this is not all of them, this is just three. The characteristics of God is that He's love, He's power, and He's wisdom. Now I want to say something right here. Catch this right here. I did not say God contains love, or God contains power, or God contains wisdom. What I am saying, God is all of these. He's all of these. He's love. He's power. He's wisdom. Oh, what a God we serve tonight. My, my. That's why we must praise the Lord. We must praise Him because of who He is and His characteristics of Him. Well, here's the third question. How shall God be praised? How shall He be praised? Do we just write, "Praise ye the Lord," on a piece of paper, and that does the job? Or do we send up smoke screens and say something, or have a plane do skywriting in the heavens above, "Praise ye the Lord"? Well, look at verses 3, if you will, there. It says, "Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psalter and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise Him with string instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals, and praise Him upon the high cymbals." Now, Baptist people don't have any trouble using instruments. In other words, we've got an organ over here. In fact, I've been seeing an organ in the little dollar paper. It says a little Hammond organ. Says in real good shape for $300. I haven't been over to see it, but I'd like to see us one day put a little organ over here. Well, nobody can play it, preach and all, but it would sure look good. It would look good. And maybe nobody can play an organ if you don't have one. And so if we get one eventually, then we can have a piano over here and an organ over here. And then the building now is tilting because the piano is going down this way over here. So, but anyway, the Bible talks about these instruments and talks about these various instruments here. And God says that you can praise Him with instruments. Yes, we can do that. And I hope and pray that you realize that if you can play an instrument, we have a brother that plays the guitar. We have our sister that plays the organ. Others are trying to learn to play the piano. And I don't play nothing. I just play around. Amen. But everybody needs to realize these instruments are to bring glory to God. These verses tell us every suitable instrument man can offer with his God-given creative ability and talent. My talent. And so we need to praise the Lord with the instrument. Now, I know, you know this to be true. The Church of Christ, they have heart attacks when they hear a piano in church. And if they had an organ, and if they had a piano, and if you had all these other things, the trumpet and the psalter and the harp and everything, my, they'd probably go crazy. But the fact is, the Bible says those things can be used to praise God. So we ought not be afraid of that. We ought not be afraid of that. Now, listen to me very carefully here. Notice in these three verses, now I read to you just a moment ago, they begin with "praise Him." Then he talks about the instruments. Praise Him. God can and He deserves to be praised with these instruments. Now, I have to say something else. I have to make this statement. We must remember Satan knows about music. Satan's no fool about music. No, sir. Don't ever think that Satan doesn't know music. In fact, many Bible teachers tell us that he was probably the heavenly choir leader. So he knows music. But let's keep in mind now. Keep in mind, when music moves your flesh to go into sin, then that's the wrong kind of music. When it affects your flesh. And we've got music out there in the world. If you've ever seen Elvis Presley sing, then you know how the music he sings causes him to use his body in an inappropriate way because it's vulgar to others. And it is some sort of like a seducing thing. And that's what music will do. It will affect your flesh. And you have to be careful. I'll guarantee there's not a young person in this building that if they get around the wrong kind of music, it'll start affecting their mind. That's why, mothers and fathers, you cannot let your children watch some of these things on television and listen to the wrong kind of music, because it's going to affect them and affect their spirituality. And I'll say that because it'll affect yours if you do it. If you do that, if you listen to that old stuff all day long, if you play it and just pump it into yourself continually, it'll cause you to go into sin. We've got to be careful. We've got to be careful. So music can be good. It can cause you to praise God. Or music can be bad. It can feed your flesh and cause you to do things you should not do. Now the fourth question. Who should praise God? Who should praise God? We could give the answer this way. Everything that hath breath. Because that's what it says in verse 6. Notice there. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. So that doesn't leave any of you out, does it? Is anybody out there not breathing? Is anybody out? I mean, all of us are breathing. I know you got mixed up, our son. We had one back there who's not breathing. But the fact is we're all breathing. And the very fact that you're breathing means that you are to praise God. If you're a Christian, you are to praise God. Now, notice if you will, every verse in this last psalm is about praise. It's about praise. It's very fitting that it's about praise. Because this is the doxology of the whole book of Psalms. All five books end in this one psalm. And it's a psalm of praise and giving glory to God. But let me say something. This psalm also could be looked at in this way. It speaks of a prophetic day that's coming down the road. There's coming a day when, my friends, every creature will in fact bow to the praise of God. So we could be speaking about that in prophecy. Now, in Philippians, don't turn there, but just listen very carefully here, if you will. Oh, I have to turn. I didn't mark it down in my notes here. Turn to Philippians if you want to, because this will give you a good chance to say something in a moment. Turn to Philippians. Now, you know it's right after Ephesians, so turn to Ephesians and go the next book over. And look with me, if you will, at, chapter 2. Chapter 2. And look with me. And if you're there, if you're at Philippians chapter 2, say, amen. Amen. All right. See, that's easy to say. That's good to say it. Now, notice what it says here. And we're going to start in about verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also had highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That'd be a good reason to praise God. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that ever tongue, notice that, ever tongue, not part of them, ever tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Now I'm going to have you turn over to the book of Revelation. I bet you know where Revelation is. That's the last book in your Bible. Turn over there to Revelation. And I want you to go to chapter 5. Chapter 5 of Revelation. And I want you to come down to verse 9, if you will. Notice what it says. Notice what it says now. It said, and they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our gods kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000, 10,000s and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. My. So there's going to come a day when all these people that curse God now, they're going to have to admit that God is real and that He is worthy of praise. And they'll have to bow the knee to Him. That don't mean they'll get saved, but what it does mean, they will have to recognize in the end that we have a Heavenly Father and that they turned Him down. But you and I that know Him as Savior, we know Him now, and so we should begin praising Him now. Let's not wait till we get to heaven to praise God. Let's praise Him now. My, my, my. I want you to stand with me, if you will. Stand with me for a moment or two here. I want to get you to say something. Now, if you don't say it, we could repeat this all night long. So everybody say it to begin with, and we can get through it real quick. So I want everybody to speak up. Say it like you were talking to your kid out in the yard that you're mad at. I mean, just say it out loud. Just say it good. My God is good.
My God is
great.
I will lift His name up
so all can see Him.
His power is unlimited.
His love is unending.
And I am not ashamed of my God.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
You sound like charismatic folks out there. That's good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He's a good God. He's a good God. I'll tell you what. I want to pray for you tonight. I want to pray for you tonight. I thank you for coming. And I thank you for praying for me. And let's just keep our church family in prayer. And, you know, we're not through this thing yet. They say there's 5 or more 6 weeks until we pass this flu season. And so let's just pray for the church family and pray that we'll have good attendance on Sunday and that God will bless us. And if you have to shake hands, give them the elbow, huh? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for these people here tonight. Lord, I don't mean to say this in a bad way. These are good people. These are good people. They've come to church tonight. God, they deserve, Lord, to know that they can praise their God and they don't have to be ashamed of it. God, we thank You that we can say, Hallelujah! We thank You that we can say glory to His name because He is a wonderful, wonderful God. Now, Father, look down on us tonight. I'm sure in this congregation there are people that need Your presence real in their life. God, whatever their need might be, I pray that You'll undertake for them, that God, You'll give them special grace. And God, that You would just provide. God, let Your presence be real to them. Father, we pray for our nation. God, we pray for those folks that got captured by the terrorists over there just today. God, I pray that America won't be a little wimp nation. But God, we will do something about this stuff. God, I pray for our leaders. Give them wisdom. God, help America to get things in control. God, help us to get our spending in control. And God, help us as individuals to do the same thing with our spending. God, help us to be wise with every nickel that you put in our hands. Father, I'm so tired of hearing those politicians say, oh, it's only $50 million, just a drop in the bucket. God, that shows just how foolish those people are. And if it was their money, they'd have more sense about it. God, help our leaders to get themselves in control. And God, do what's right. Pray for the president. God, you'd keep him safe. And God, that you would give him insight into ways that he can better this nation. Now, Father, I pray for the troops tonight. God, that you'd be with them. I know they live in fear of the fact that will this nation stand behind them like they should. Father, I pray we do. I pray we do. Father, I pray for Israel tonight. God, put your blessings upon them. God, give them protection. They're surrounded by enemies. God, protect them. God, we know you love them. And God, we know that you said you would take care of them. So God, we put them in your hands. Bless Israel tonight. Now, Father, go with us and direct us and keep us safe. And let us come back Sunday. And Father, let it be a great, great day. In Jesus' name, amen.